Well, here we are, Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas, and my guest today is George Dukas, and so many of you that are real country music fans remember his big hit, Lipstick Promises, and also Teardrops. He's been writing with a lot of different people, some real hit songs with Bradley Foster, and it's an incredible career he's got going for him, and he's got a new record out, and we're going to feature some songs off of that as well. Before we do, though, I'm going to do a song for you called More Than Enough, and we'll be right back with George Dukas. Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas and my guest today, George Dukas. And George, I'm embarrassed to say, but I think I told you before we started rolling that I'm kind of new to this country vibe. Only my husband's a huge country music fan, and of course I am too. I went to high school in the same high school as Garth Brooks, so I don't know if that gets me anything except that they renamed the whole street Garth Brooks Boulevard. So,
well, Maylee Thomas, it is great to be with you today, and I'm honored to be with you, and
I just was going to say, I feel terrible that I didn't know that much about you, but
hey, one of my,
Well, one of my producers called me and he goes, this guy is like the real deal and you need to know some stuff about him. I was like, okay.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
Is that Joshua?
No, it wasn't Josh. It's a friend of mine named Carrie Langford that's been helping me with my show. But yeah, Josh, of course, is a huge fan. And as you know, I will tell him. Yeah, for sure. But as you know, Josh is a huge fan and loves the new record. And of course, his favorite song on the record is Country Badass.
I know.
What did he tell you that?
Yeah, we've had a couple great phone conversations here in the past couple of weeks about it. And man, I mean, I kind of should have expected it out of him. And just kind of knowing KHYI, which we go back a few years and you know, kind of that fringe rebel Texas thing. And I should have known that they would, that the station would dig that. And I kind of overlooked it when I sent Joshua the record. Yeah. But I was thrilled. I mean, it doesn't, to me, I mean, I write all my songs. So, if I chose to record them, then I must really believe in them. So they're kind of all my babies. So it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter to me what people like, as long as they like something, you know, out of 12 songs, hopefully they like, you know, two or three, or hopefully like six or 10, but.
Well, I listened down to your record, on Sunday, and man, I like so much of it, and I can see why people want to write with you. And I know that, you know, I'm looking at your history, and you've certainly written some phenomenal songs, not only for yourself but for other artists. And so I can see why. I mean, you've definitely got a gift for sure, and I'm a huge fan. So.
I appreciate it. That's sweet. You don't have to say it or be it, but
I know I don't, but I'm going to tell you I am.
Honestly, it just, after a while you do it so long, you know, and not that I'm like, I don't want to make it sound like I've been doing it 50 years or anything, but like, you know, you are who you are and you do what you do. And I mean, you do it for long enough and you get a little better at it, or maybe just more efficient at it, or whatever the case. Hopefully after a while, you know, you wind up with some successes and some accolades. I don't know that I don't really consider myself like a amazing at anything really. Just,
oh, come on, George.
I just work at it. Like, that's it.
I know, but tell me that it doesn't, that you haven't gotten to the place where you realize that you have honed into a craft and a gift that you were given, and you're giving back, and you've got to be getting something back from
yeah.
You hear your stuff being played on the radio, or you know other artists are recording your songs.
It's super rewarding. I just mean that, you know, in between those songs that get played on the radio, or you decide that are strong enough to record for your own brand, there's a lot of other songs you write that, you know, aren't, mm-hmm. that don't. And, you know, not every day is like awesome day, you know? So, you know, you just got to kind of know what you're after. I mean, I consider myself kind of a self-editor as much as a writer, because I mean, I'll bail on a song idea quicker than you can say. I don't know what we can say on this show, but, I'll bail on a song idea super fast if I don't believe in it, because life's too short for another mediocre song. Like, I just don't care. And so if I don't believe it's much greater than mediocre, in fact, it's better be damn good, or I'm not going to record it. And I'm probably not going to record it at this point. I'm not even going to finish writing it, because I'm just not interested. I mean,
right.
I don't mean to.
Well, and so let me ask you a question though. How does that come about? Do you, you know, I've co-written quite a bit. I haven't really co-written that much. I've got my little group, right? And my husband and I write a lot of stuff together. But, I've not been thrown into a room.
You get your little group. Everybody does that. So
sure. Yeah. But I've never been thrown into a room with someone that I didn't feel like I could bail on an idea, you know, easily with them. If I say, hey, I don't, are you thinking this is going somewhere? And a lot of times the other person will say, well, let's give it a little more time. And, you know, we'll leave it and come back and go, yeah, no, let's start over.
Yeah. I don't want to get in a room where I'm not comfortable going, let's bail on that, or I don't dig that. I have to be able to say that to my co-writer. And then,
Well, but you know, there may be something you can share though with people that want to know what it's like when you go into a writing session in Nashville, because I've got lots of friends, not lots of friends. I've got several friends that, you know, that's all they do is write. And they're often their label or someone will bring them into a session with someone that they don't even know because they feel like they're, and they sit there and, you know, they're jiving, trying to figure out where they're going to go with something. Tell me what that process is like, George.
Man, it's kind of like stripping all your clothes off in front of a total stranger, and they do it too. And then you're just standing there going, I mean, it can be like that. It can be kind of like, particularly early on in your career, you know, you don't feel comfortable perhaps with some people. And then some people it just works, you know, like you're totally comfortable and you're into the same music and you're influenced by the same music. And so, I mean, it can go both ways and you never know until you step in the room and then you do it for a while and you develop your little, you know, posse or whatever, the guys that you're comfortable, girls that you're comfortable writing with or both. I think I probably limited myself over the years and just wrote with people that I knew I'd be comfortable with, instead of maybe taking more risks and getting
more chances.
Yeah. That I didn't know. But I mean,
you started out with some pretty killer people. I know that, and Foster have written songs together and wrote it.
Yeah.
Totally. His song, Just Call Me Lonesome, that had to be a cool feeling for you to have that song do so well, and you were co-writer on it.
Man, yeah, in a lot of cases, writing Just Call Me Lonesome with Radney, I mean, he's kind of like my older, you know, uncle that I never had, or you know, my senior big brother. I mean, he predates me by a decade or whatever. You know, he was already onto his second record deal when we met and started writing, and I had just rolled into town at age 21 or something. And Just Call Me Lonesome, I think, which is thankfully a Texas jukebox standard, really having written that with him, I think it was the second song we wrote. And, you know, I was just going over to his house once a week. He's the one that kind of encouraged me to move to town. And, as a fellow Texan, that meant a lot to me. And I looked up to Radney and his, you know, days with Foster and Lloyd, if anybody out there knows of those days. So, I know some people do, certainly, especially in the Dallas and Fort Worth areas. But so he took me under his wing and that helped fast track a lot of things for me. Like, it got me a publishing deal, almost directly. And then, you know, then my publisher became semi-instrumental in helping, you know, helping me kind of court a record deal. So, you know, Radney's always been there, and we've gone on to write quite a few songs for other artists. And then of course songs that he's recorded on his own records.
Your song, I mean, you have certainly gotten a lot of accolades on your own. You had a top 10 hit,
with Lipstick Promises. Lipstick Promises was a big hit for me, and several others that were, I guess,
Teardrops.
Teardrops, Hello Cruel World, other Kisses Don't Lie, Every Time She Passes By. There were several on the Billboard charts, and Lipstick Promises being the biggest of those. And that was just a fun time. I mean, the machinery of the business and the machinery of Nashville was all really kind of working for me at the time. And, you know, I'd roll back home to Texas and, you know, play Billy Bob's. And I mean, the first place I played, I think, was I was opening a show for Alan Jackson at what was then called the Starplex Amphitheater.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that was literally my first show as a signed artist, you know, and I cheered up.
What was that like, George?
Teardrop was on the radio.
Do you remember that feeling when you stepped out on that stage?
Yeah, not exactly. I remember before it, and I had a bunch of buddies that were, you know, from Texas that I had invited and gotten them, you know, VIPs and backstage and everything. And Troy Aikman was there, and I was taking pictures with Troy, and I was already pals with Faith Hill because I was her then fiance was was the head of my publishing company. Anyway, small world, but she was on the bill as well, on the show as well. And then, you know, I knew Alan and Jackson, and all my buddies were like, man, dude, you're going on in like 5 minutes. I had of course beer and a, you know, VIP room for him and everything. And they're like, are you going to throw up? Like, are you just going to puke right now? Like, no, that's not even a, I mean, I was excited, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I think nervousness, you can channel your emotions by renaming them sometimes. And you can take nerves or apprehension or anxiety. And if you just kind of sometimes, not all the time, but it's not foolproof, but if you just rechannel it as excitement, it can go from a negative connotation to a positive, and then you're just freaking fired up, you know?
I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm my deal is I've never been nervous unless I'm going to play a gig where I don't think the people I'm playing with know the material well enough.
Yeah.
Or if we are, you know, we're trying something that, you know,
new
that I'm not confident in. That's the only time I get nervous anymore. Honestly, I and you can call me up on a gig. Of course, that's just because I'm just an old horse. You know, you can call me up on a gig and ask me to sing.
You're not an old
that I don't
horse.
Even know that
you're
I don't
not
even
an
know.
Old horse. You're not an old horse. I'm not letting you get away with that. No, it's about preparation. So, I think that's what you're talking about, and whether it's you or whether it's your bandmates. Or coworkers or whatever walk of life we're talking about. It's about whether we're prepared.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, if we're prepared as a team and as individuals, we're confident. And right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And, you know,
I'm way more comfortable on stage doing that than I am coming down and meeting people that I don't know. And actually, I'm a very easy person to talk to, but I'm always worried that I'm going to say something because I don't really have a filter.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm one of those people that don't walk away and go, did she just say that?
It goes out loud. Can I get that back? No, it's too late. It's out there now. Yeah, I've done that before too. Something comes out and you're like, man, I'm probably going to regret that if that's just a sound bite. You know?
Well, we got about a minute left on this segment, and I want to do a little segue into the title track off the record you released last year. And, you know, it's actually still a new record, George, because you haven't been out there to tour with it yet.
Yeah.
And so this is going to give you, I think you're going to get a lot more, you're going to get a lot more mileage out of this record than most because of the fact that you haven't been out there to do that.
Maybe,
but we're going to play the title track.
Or maybe by the time we can actually tour, it'll be an old record and we'll make another one, you know, but I hope you're right. We had a whole Yellow Rose Motel. That's the name of the record, by the way. I'm not sure we've talked about that. So the track we're about to play is Yellow Rose Motel. And I thank you. It's my ode to Willie Nelson, having grown up with him as my hero as a kid and growing up in Houston, Texas. So, particularly the Redheaded Stranger album was really influential. And so it's kind of my story song that I've never written and, had never killed anybody off in a song before either. So in this song, I do myself one better and I kill off two people if you're able to listen for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But interesting listen, definitely a departure for me and really, really proud of it. And that's why I named the record after it.
Well, I love this song and I love the vibe because it's kind of, it's, you know, I was born in Houston, by the way.
Excellent. All right. I knew so, I loved you.
Here we go. Texas. Yeah, here we go. Our Texas boy, George Dukas, and singing Yellow Rose Motel. And we come back, we're going to talk about some more cuts off that record and life during COVID. So we'll be right back with Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas and my good friend now, because we've been talking off the air for a while, George Dukas.
Thank you, Maylee.
She was a jewel to behold, such a beautiful sight. Her dark hair falling down and far away eyes on fire. I wasn't looking for love. She didn't want me to fall.
y'all. This is Bonnie Bishop, and you are listening to Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas on The Range.
Well, we're back at Texas Homegrown Music, and George, you guys just heard that beautiful song, Yellow Rose Motel, and I say beautiful. The subject matter kind of hurts a little bit, but...
It's a little dark, but we've all been there.
Or absolutely.
Many of us have, and I just, like I said, growing up in Houston, listening to, I mean, my parents were, you know, big fans of Willie Nelson. I heard a lot of those records growing up, but Redheaded Stranger really stood out and kind of started writing songs because of that album and playing guitar, learning guitar because of that album. And, you know, the Redheaded Stranger album is a story album. And
absolutely. I've got that album, by the way.
Oh, well, there you go.
The album.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't have the album, but my parents did. But like, I literally, like, that's what I started to write songs around. And so I wanted to get back to that. I'd never really done that in my professional career. And so I tried to write my version of sort of what Redheaded Stranger is to me. Something like that, you know, that story. This is perhaps even a little darker. But anyway, I'm really pleased with how it wound up.
Well, I love it. So tell me about you. Give me an elevator pitch of George Dukas and your family.
All over the place. I was born in Galveston and raised the first 5 years of my life in Texas City. And after that, my folks divorced. So my mom moved my sister and myself out to Southern California. And,
how old were you when your parents divorced?
I was about six.
Ooh, okay.
And so lived out there all through kind of elementary school, and then, starting middle school, I think I was starting to get, you know, I wasn't a bad kid. I was very loving towards my mother, but I was having trouble in school, kind of getting in fights from time to time and stuff like that. And so she thought I needed a dad, and dad did too. So, she sent me back I would go back to Texas every summer anyway to see my dad. But, one summer I went back and just was told I was staying there. So, that was hard. Dad was remarried, but kind of grew into it. And I mean, I certainly respect.
Did you have step siblings?
I did have a stepsister. Mm-hmm. So I went through junior high and high school, found some new friends. You know, you gotta find all new friends when you move as a kid. That's hard, but it kind of taught me how to adapt. So yeah. Looking back on it, I really am thankful for that experience. Because I think, you know, we have to adapt in life, and
absolutely.
It really helped begin to learn that process. And I grew up, you know, then in junior high, high school, spent it in Houston, and absolutely loved it. I mean, I wound up loving it. I had a lot of great friends and enjoyed school and, you know, went on to play, I was playing baseball and, wound up to be, you know, I don't know, class vice president here and there and stuff like that.
So your mom saw you needed that, your dad's influence.
Yeah, she did. I mean, or she was coached up by my dad that I needed a dad. I'm not sure what the real truth is there, but either way, I'm glad it happened because I do think it was the best thing for me. I could see myself have easily, if I had stayed out in Southern California, just wound up like selling t-shirts on the beach or something, you know, like, you know,
that's not a bad gig. Actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad gig, but it's not a great future either. So
depends on what you want to do. If you want to surf all day and sell t-shirts, damn, do it.
Yeah, it's cool. It doesn't leave much of a 401k, but then again, neither does being a musician. But I think somewhere out there, some of that West Coast California music thing seeped into my blood because I've always had a real affinity for Bakersfield country and as well as on the rock side, you know Tom Petty is a huge influence on me, and when he passed a couple of years ago, that was super devastating for me. But equally, Stevie Ray Vaughan when he passed was a huge devastation for me too. So I think the Texas and California connection, which really goes back way before me, goes back to Buck Owens was born in Texas and built his career in California. And, you know, I mean, there's a long history of successful artists that have bounced back and forth between California and Texas. So
no doubt.
So somewhere in there, I think, you know, I think all the music, you know, kind of got into me, and both out there. And then again, when I heard back in Texas, listening to, like I said, Willie, or even the songwriter stuff, Guy Clark and Jerry Jeff Walker, in high school, we listened to a bunch of Jerry Jeff and absolutely loved that stuff, you know. And
well, you definitely cut your teeth on some major people for sure. And
I mean, who doesn't? We all.
And I love that we, you know, and I'm older than you are, but we grew up in a really great music era with the Beatles. And I mean, you know, everything that was coming on the forefront, from Elvis to the Beatles, and then to me, I still think that my favorite decade of music is the 70s, and I still pull a lot of influence from it now in my life always. So
for sure,
you know, I think it's great that we got to actually live through that. And of course, now with this pandemic, talk about having to roll with the punches and be able to
adapt. Yeah.
Adapt. I have found out, of course, you know, I talk about it a lot. I mean, I really am a hippie at heart, and I really do know that I enjoy the finer things in life, obviously, but I could live in a commune. My husband will tell you, I could live in a commune and share.
Are we gonna read about you moving to Waco?
No, I couldn't do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about really what COVID has done. Certainly for a lot of people, is it's given them the peace to know how little you'd really need to live.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about. I know there's people that are suffering right now because they can't afford to pay their bills, because and musicians too, the first time in our life that we couldn't just go out and put a bucket on the stage and play a gig.
It's devastating for some.
You know, so for that, it's sad, but I think the good things that we're going to glean from this is that that we realize that we can make it in this world without all those things all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're alluding to is it has forced us to live life more simply. Mm-hmm. I mean, to say nothing of the devastation it's caused and the financial impact and everything, it has forced us all, even if we've avoided those other things, the financial devastation or the health devastations, it's forced us all to slow down and appreciate the things we do have and the people we do have in our lives, even if we can't see them. Or maybe,
well, I have a motto.
Maybe because we can't see them, we appreciate them, right? So,
well, I have a motto, and as you get to know me better, you'll know. But we have a nonprofit that's my other job that I run, a nonprofit called the Love Life Foundation, and I think that I get to share with people that it doesn't mean that life is wonderful every day, but I love life, and I know it's a gift, and I find the thing.
Right.
That's okay. I find the things that I can love out of each day.
Right.
And I think that's probably where a lot of us are going with this. So.
I hope so. I hope, you know, the concern is, you know, life speeds back up at some point, which we do hope it does, but that we forget the lessons that we've learned, which mankind kind of has a...
You know, we kind of do that anyway. It's an ebb and flow. And it's
kind of a history of that.
Up and down. Well, we're going to play another song here in a second, and I chose you're going to laugh at me, but I chose,
because we didn't really talk about this.
Well, I chose Preachers and Pushers because I can identify with that. I mean, big time. I mean, and with that, and you didn't even know this about me, but I sang Christian music, gospel music, in the first part of my career, and I've seen both extremes in my life, and I've experienced both extremes, and I'm one of those glean from the middle kind of girl. But I love that line where you said that they both get the right to sell. And I like that. I want our world to have that, and I want us to be able to have the choice.
Actually, it's both got a rock to sell.
Oh, I thought it was a right.
A rock.
So both got a rock to sell. Okay. Now, one sends you to heaven, the other sends you to hell.
Yeah, you know, like the rock, like God is our rock, and you know,
okay,
rock, like in the Bible. Or the rock might
be. Oh, the rock of
crack.
Crack. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, but I like right too. I think maybe we should re-record that song and throw right in there.
No. My thought though is that maybe not. I'm going to get a lot of people calling me. Does that mean you like that people can get out there and sell drugs? No. What I like is for us to have the choice of knowing that we made a decision in our life and a direction and a path. And we're all, it's all going to be out there no matter what, but we have to have the ability to make a decision and
living with the decisions you make and committing to what that is, I guess, in this case, you know.
Well, if there's anybody out there, he who is without sin, give me a call.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can get through this life without any sin, then I guess I'll give you the ability to call me. And yeah. The only one that I know that can do that and that I have any kind of relationship with is Jesus, and he does it all the time, so you don't need to do it for him.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
Keeps me centered.
And by the way, you probably haven't had a very fun life either.
I've had a really fun
life. Not you, but anybody out there that some mistakes, at least. We're all human, and I think that's kind of one of the points of the song. You know, we all make decisions, both good and bad, and you know.
Well, I'm for one, I'm glad that you made a decision to be a songwriter and singer and performer. And
you're sweet.
And we'll call it country, but I'm gonna tell you, it's all kinds of things. Your music is country for sure, but it's also got it's got some pop and rock and blues. And
I appreciate that a ton. I mean, I really do, because I mean, one of the coolest compliments I get, like on a lot of times it's on direct messages on Instagram, which I have to say, please, y'all, if you're on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever your thing is, or if all three are, look me up and follow. But a lot of times I'll get messages and a lot of times because of this new album, we've had a pretty strong digital push on it, and kids, you know, when I say kids, it might be 18 or 20, like come find me. And, they're like, man, I don't even like country music, but I love your record. And that means a ton, you know, like that's a huge, like when you can cross genres,
yeah,
as a listener and appreciate something else that's not in your wheelhouse, that's a big move. And so I always tell them, I mean, I'm like, that means a ton to me. That means more to me, in fact, than even like perhaps a stone cold country listener that digs my record, like because it took more patience, and patience is a virtue these days, especially as a listener of music, and for them to be open and dig it, you know, even though they're maybe a rock guy or pop girl or whatever the case may be, that the music can cross that whatever chasm for them is
well. You do. You definitely do. So I want to play this song for you guys out there right now. It's called Preachers and Pushers, and we've got George Dukas here, and he's going to come back and do a song for us on acoustic, and I'm looking forward to that. So we'll be right back.
Everybody's got a weakness. I gotta have it, God, I need this. Girl, that's you under my skin, like a needle in my vein. Everybody's buying something, trading everything for nothing. You never wanted me to change, never asked me for a thing. With ever saw in me. Trying, girl, no, never to be the man who meets the measure. Right beside you, running free till the end. That's where I'll be. Yeah, preachers and pushers, old guy who rocked to sell.
George Dukas, and he's going to play a song for us. But before you do, George, I want you to tell people how they can, you know, hear you and get to know you a little bit better during this.
Yeah, well, COVID. No, I really appreciate that. So I mentioned earlier, obviously, all the social media, you know, typical places you go to Instagram, George Dukas, Twitter, same thing, and Facebook, same thing, just my name.
By the way, that's spelled D-U-C-A-S for all you listeners out there.
Yeah, I do get some people misspelling that, but it doesn't happen too much anymore, but it happens. So thank you for pointing that out. And then my website, georgedukas.com, which has a store on it, and people can get everything from my old CDs back, you know, my Capitol Records releases to stuff that's coming out right now. We just got just put out a lifetime VIP pass, which is a really cool item. So any show they come to, like, Forever Never Amen, they can have a you know, be part of the VIP crowd backstage, either pre-show or post-show. And then just, you know, your typical stuff like trucker caps and concert shirts and stuff like that. So we're always adding to it, and it's been a lot of fun, especially this year, 2020 being what it is with COVID. You know, we always try to come up with new merchandise, which leads me sort of to a little bit of another very 2020 thing is the live stream. And, you know, of course everybody's doing that, artists that is. And I kind of decided way back in April to call mine 25 and Live. I didn't want people to do tips or whatever, like join up, find me, hook up for free, chat on there, and I'll play songs for an hour. And it's been great, but we called it 25 and Live. So the people that go to my website and decide to buy a merchant item, you know, once 25 items are purchased, that determines when I go do my next Instagram live stream. And cool. The people that have purchased can put in a song request. And so they kind of, people that purchase those 25 items kind of create my set list. So, it's really been kind of cool. And people have gotten to sort of be friends with each other through it now too. So it's like while I'm playing songs, yeah, everybody, whether they purchased an item or not, can join the live stream. But everybody's kind of like chatting like they know each other now. So that's really kind of cool.
Very cool. You're bringing people together, George.
It's neat. You know, it's really neat. I can only imagine how people like Willie must feel, you know, like he's got generations of people that have been brought together through his music. But in fact, one time, you know, there was the recent hurricane in Louisiana. Well, one fan of mine friend, fan, I don't know how to differentiate really sometimes, but went to another friend's house who they met through my music and stayed with them during the hurricane. Their family.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Look what really you did. Cool. Family from Louisiana went to the family's house in Texas while the storm blew past.
Wow.
You know? So that was really, really cool. Anyway.
Well, you're really, really cool, by the way. Well, and I am so glad that I got to know you on this level, George. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you even better and having you come play at the Guitar Sanctuary.
I'd love it.
And have you play at some city events for McKinney, because you are a Texas dude that's got a good heart. And I can't wait to share you with all my community here. Well, so thank you so much.
I'd be honored for sure.
Well, thank you so much for doing this show. And thank you so much for being willing to do a song for us. And he's going to play one of my favorites on his new record, by the way. And you guys, be sure to go online and purchase it, because that's what we can do to help these artists right now while they're not out touring, is we can buy their music. So please go buy his newest record, Yellow Rose Motel. You will not be disappointed. There's something on there for everybody, but I like this particular song a lot, and it's called Unlove You, and he's going to play it for us, and we're going to be back afterwards to talk more about what we've got coming up on Texas Homegrown Music. But thank you so much, George. And
I really enjoyed it.
Give your fiance my love and tell her she's a lucky gal. And I will see you soon. And I can't wait to hear the song. So here we go, Unlove You with George.
and you're listening to Texas Homegrown Music with Bailey Thomas
on KHYI 95.3.
Before we stop talking, is there any hope inside of you? Hey, baby, before you start walking, better put on the right shoes. You got your hands on the wheel and you're going too fast. Before it's too late, take another look back.
So that's my good friend John Christopher Davis singing a song called Don't Wreck My Heart. He's got a new project coming out pretty soon called Speaker Wars, and it's a really phenomenal music, and I can't wait to share it with you. I'm going to have him on the show soon to talk about that project. So don't forget to really, you know, go ahead and download these guys' music, even though they're not out there playing. It's really hard because during this COVID time, so many of them are losing so much money by not being able to play these gigs. But we can still support them by downloading their music and sending them little messages through whatever means you can and let them know you're still listening to their stuff. It's important for us to encourage these musicians and also all the other people that are involved in live music. I'm happy to see that some of it's going to start coming back on a smaller scale. And pretty soon, a few months from now, we're all going to look back at this and say it was just a time of reverence for all of us to find out who we really are when we can't do the things that we're used to doing. But we're going to go out of today's show with a song by Cody West called October, because this is such a great time of year. It's one of my favorites, actually. And I just want to say thank you for listening, and thank you to Guitar Sanctuary and Tupps Brewery for making this all possible. And we'll see you next time.